Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Solera Report. This is a very special moment for me. I'm in Switzerland with Thomas Meyer in his lovely home. Thank you, Thomas.
You're welcome.
And yesterday we had a wonderful supper with the Swiss subscribers, a wonderful event in the garden, and we made a big announcement, and now we want to share it with the entire Solera network. And so for that, I'm going to turn to Thomas. Thomas, what are we here to announce?
I suppose we announce that we are going to make a series about what is spiritual science and why is Rudolf Steiner so important today and modern. And we will have 10 sections. You want me to read them?
Yeah, please.
Rudolf Steiner, the basis of spiritual science. As we found many references today, we found it timely to start to give a kind of an overview of this huge work of Steiner's. And we have 10 subjects we go through. They will be called, How Do I Find the Christ? That's our starting lecture or talk. And then we have spiritual knowledge. What is it? History and the evolution of the earth, world economy, the threefold social order, occult politics, education and art, agriculture and health, self-development and meditation, the age of Ahriman and Michael. And this encompasses something like the cosmos of spiritual science. And we want to make a kind of a introduction in 10 courses, in 10 series, and then we might go on and want to go on and deepen the whole thing.
And we're launching a website called Spiritual Science Academy. And this is going to be, we're going to describe this as always for the present age, because the question for many people is, if we reject the plans being enforced on us by Mr. Global, how do we build a human future? And Thomas and I believe that that Rudolf Steiner's work and Thomas's work is exceptionally useful in helping us understand how to do that. So with that, we're going to do our first one today.
Right.
So we begin our first series called How Do I Find the Christ? And I would point out that it was my request to you. I have next to my bedside a little book you gave me called How Do I Find the Christ by Rudolf Steiner. And I felt I get a lot of questions about Christianity and about Christ. And I felt it was very, very important that rather than me try and answer some of those questions, I have you instead teach us what Steiner taught us about Christ.
Thank you. And the idea is that at the end of the series of 10, we will then deepen and also include some inputs from the audience, some other people and panels and so on.
Right.
So this is just the start.
Right. Okay, how do I find the Christ? We started already. So I was here in the Jungfrau with you a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
on Whitson. And we did an interview on Whitson that we will link to with this.
Right.
And so today we start with the cosmic Christ.
We start with the cosmic Christ. Whitson, in a way, was the entrance point for Steiner for his research into who is the Christ. So I want to make, to begin with, some statement about the cosmic Christ, which is not maybe familiar to everyone. People know the name of Jesus and so on, but what is the Christ? It's not the same as Jesus, as will be clear, I hope, in the course of the lecture. The Christ is a cosmic being coming into the Earth evolution at a certain critical point. And there was a kind of a prelude, a dramatic prelude. The hierarchies, and we were going to talk about the hierarchies in the later lecture courses, they saw it necessary to include in the evolutionary plan for the human being a being that was not theirs. It was not from the hierarchy. It was, so to speak, from the side coming in to the evolution. Why did they need this being? And this being is called Ahriman. We have been talking about Ahriman, and we will be talking again about Ahriman, because he is the spirit in our time who has a great influence and a great hold on many souls. So there was a drama in the evolution, in the Earth time, in the early Earth time. The hierarchies found it necessary to get in Ahriman into the evolution. They forced him in, that's Steiner's formulation. But then why? Because in the hierarchies and in the human being at that time, early time of Earth evolution, there was no death experience. The gods did not know what death is. And Ahriman, of course, knew and knows what death is. In order to give the human being the ability to undergo death, they needed Ahriman. Why does the human being need death? Because only in a death and dying body something can blossom that we call intellect. And the human being needs intellect to develop freedom and ultimately love. In order to make that possible, the hierarchies decided we have to get Ahriman in. It was not Ahriman's decision, it was the higher plan of the good hierarchies involved in the evolution of human being.
So Ahriman doesn't feel that good.
No, but they forced him in, right. Yes? But the higher gods then knew, if we do this, there is a danger. The danger is he will try to take over.
Mm-hmm.
That's inherent in Ahriman, and we can still feel it today because it's an Ahrimanic time. It's the time of his incarnation. And in order to blunt that danger, they said, we must find some of us who undergoes death out of freedom and out of love for the future humanity. And the being who was ready to do this is the being that we later called the Christ. So the Christ took over the sacrifice to do something that was not necessary, absolutely not necessary. And he underwent suffering, tremendous death, and then resurrection. And this was the cosmic plan behind the appearance of the Christ in human evolution. And at that moment when this happened, especially when the resurrection happened, Ahriman was surprised. He didn't know that plan, so to speak. Probably he wouldn't have agreed to play a part in human evolution if he would have known the whole plot.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's an amazing
aspect. So he knew he was defeated from the beginning.
In a way.
Yeah.
And the important for today, I feel, is that it is clear that Ahriman and even Lucifer, the other adversary, they only act upon admission and permission by the higher beings. The higher beings are the higher beings, and the being like Ahriman was blunted in his tendency to take over the whole thing. But whenever he appears, especially today, he still tries take over.
It's funny, one of his favorite tactics is to make people think it's hopeless.
Yes.
When it's not.
No.
And the problem is if they know Christ,
yes,
he can't do it.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's why it is important to look at the Christ being. By the way, Ahriman is also a fearful being. He is afraid that people think him, see him, understand his workings, and especially through the knowledge of the Christ that we are going to talk mm-hmm. about. Now, the Christ is a cosmic being. The Catholic Church always denied this. The early Gnostics in the Christian era, they knew that. But the Catholic Church only wanted people to talk about Jesus and the lovely, the nice Jesus, etc., the simple man, and they left out the cosmic aspect. The cosmic aspect has to do with that, what I just outlined. It was a drama to be solved in order to promote the further evolution. It was a huge mm-hmm. thing. So the sacrifice happened. You all know that from the Bible, etc. And it started in that moment that we have the baptism in the Jordan. Mm-hmm. And you see even in with a symbol in painting, the dove and the father speaking, saying, this is the moment that my beloved son has been born. And then the drama starts, the earthly drama, which takes 3 years to the year 33. That is the day of the crucifixion. The drama of the Christ incarnated in Jesus. We will talk about that presently. Which Jesus? What does that mean? Unfolded till the Last Supper and the crucifixion. And then, of course, the resurrection is the key of the mystery of Golgotha, which was necessary in order to bring about beings that were not just good beings automatically, but had intellect, had freedom, had choice. And for that reason, Ahriman had to be brought in, but in a way that he is checked from the beginning, for all times.
So for Christians, the mystery of Golgotha brings the covenant of grace. And before the covenant of grace, we don't have an intimate personal connection with the divine. After the covenant of grace, we do, and nothing can cut us off from it.
Yes, and we have to regain that, maybe, this grace, what you call grace. It's not automatically bestowed upon us right. forever, but we have to be on the striving line, so to speak.
Right.
Now, let me make two further points. The baptism is the beginning of the Christ life on earth, and Jesus was about 30 years old. Now we have, after that, the temptation that you can read in the Gospels. And there are two tempters, Lucifer and Ahriman. And I don't want to speak too much about Lucifer now. We can do that in later talks. The Ahrimanic temptation was concerning the question of food, economy, in the widest sense. And Ahriman tempted Christ to turn stones into bread. And he said, why don't you turn stones into bread? The people are hungry. And the Christ said there, man does not live from bread alone. And this was not a complete answer. There was a rest. The money question was not solved for us by the Christ. But it should be solved by people who understand why the Christ descended into human earthly evolution. That's our job. But that can only be done by people who have an understanding of the cosmic meaning of the incarnation of the Christ, like the Templars. And then we have the Last Supper, which you all know in the wonderful painting of Leonardo da Vinci. You have a wonderful image of the higher good letting the so-called evil power to act. Because Judas is one of the 12.
And the Christ knows.
The Christ knows. He is even the cause and the reason by dipping the bread that starts the action of Judas going out into the night. It says it was night, and he is going to be possessed by Satan, according to St. John's Gospel. So the Christ not only knows he is going to be the traitor, but he triggers that off, that process. Mm-hmm. So the higher is sovereign in every minute of this drama. The treason of Judas is a complex question, and it should be reconsidered today after one has found a Gospel of Judas, in America about 15 years ago, which showed that Judas was not a money-greedy traitor of a primitive kind, but he had the error, the illusion that the Christ should use the power that Judas knew he had to convince all the people that he was a higher being. He didn't understand that this is not what the Christ wanted to do. He could have, of course. So that's a question maybe for a later talk when we talk about art and Christianity in connections with Leonardo da Vinci. Now, another person who is connected in the ritual with this event of the cosmic Christ coming was Saint Paul. And Saint Paul had a big problem. You all know he was a fierce
persecutor.
And he relished in the persecutions he managed. But after resurrection, and it was only after that, he had a spiritual experience and the Christ talked to him, "What are you doing? Why are you persecuting me?" And he fell on the ground and he got deaf and he got blind. And after 2 or 3 days, he was transformed and he could understand, aha, this was the being that the Jewish tradition has been foretelling for maybe many, many millennia, or at least many, many centuries. And he thought, a being of that height cannot end in a miserable way on the cross like a normal criminal. He couldn't fit that together. And so he had a great error and he refused the prophecy until he had this experience of the living Christ, the resurrected Christ. This was a spiritual experience, not with physical eyes. The other people around him didn't see what was happening. So he is the forerunner of what is our talk ending with. How do I find the Christ? This is an experience that cannot be photographed. Nobody can say if you experience this being, you cannot be photographed, so to speak, in the physical world.
Nothing. I have no idea how to tell someone how to do it.
Yeah. Okay. We come to that because Steiner gives a very interesting, simple criterion for the preliminary things that have to be endured before a Christ experience can happen today. So the pre-story, I only touch now, this should be elaborated later. We have the Christ and we have Jesus. And the church, as I say, doesn't want to know about the Christ, a cosmic being. Because anyone who connects with the Christ awakens his higher cosmic individuality himself.
And then the church loses
the
control.
The church, exactly.
Right.
It's always a control and the money questions also. Now, there is a very interesting symptom. One of the late popes was Benedict. He wrote a book about Jesus. And he started with the baptism. But as I said, the baptism was the entrance of the Christ, not of Jesus. The entrance of the Christ into Jesus.
Right.
And this book by the Pope, about 10, 15 years ago, declared at some point, well, Jesus has had a number of titles given to him. And one of the titles was Christ. So you can see how they systematically belittle the cosmic Christ entity by mixing it up with the human Jesus that we all love.
As if the church can give a title and take a title away.
Yes, that's what they believe they can do. Right. And they fool a lot of people, of course.
Yeah.
I even met an anthroposophist who was very, very admiring this book. And I pointed out, but do you know this is an anti-Christian book by the Pope? And he couldn't believe it. But that is the call of the church. Yeah, that's why we have now, not by chance, a Pope who is a Jesuit. And the Jesuit have the aim to wipe out the knowledge of the Christ. That's why I'm very happy that we start with the cosmic Christ. They wipe it out so that it is only the human aspect, not even of the Christ, but of Jesus. That's what they're stressing. And all the rest to hell, right, so to speak.
Right. So did I ever tell you what I always thought of the Christ statue in all the churches in America?
No.
You know, all across America. So Jesus got himself in trouble with the priest by throwing the money changers out of the temple, which is a problem we're facing today. And so if you go into every church, you see Jesus on the cross hanging, you know, in the crucifixion pose. And I've always thought the subliminal message to all the children was, if you mess with our money, here's what happens to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Illustrating. Now, maybe we have a few minutes for the deep question of what is behind Jesus. And I just want to point out for everyone to think about that maybe a bit. You have the Gospel of Luke and you have the Gospel of Matthew. If you read carefully, the two stories of the Jesus in Luke and in Matthew don't fit.
Right.
One genealogy goes right up to God through Noah, that's the Luke, and the other one is much more complicated in lines in the Jewish prophets and kings and so on. Now, this is a real problem. They don't fit together. The answer of spiritual science by Steiner is there are two children born around the same time. One a bit earlier, the Luke was a bit earlier than the Matthew child. The Matthew child was passing in the time when Tiberius made this, Herodes made this terrible search for their children because he knew from the prophets of the kings there will be an extraordinary child born and he wanted to wipe that away. So this is a little bit of time difference.
Right.
And the Matthew child goes with the parents out of escape of Herodes to Egypt. The Luke child doesn't go to Egypt. So there are two children. And there is a holy moment. I can only hint at that now. Maybe we should explain that more in detail later. The Luke child goes with his parents to the temple when he is 12 years old. And it is a simple child, full of goodness, heart, but not wisdom. No scriptures so far. And suddenly you see him sitting among the wise.
The priests and the scribes.
Exactly. And he explains them, the scriptures. And there is a tradition in the still in the Middle Ages that people knew, some people knew, there were two children that at this moment they merged. That means the ego, the higher ego of the one child, out of love for this wonderful, good other child, went into this other child. It sounds very, very surprising if you first hear that. But it explains that the other child then suddenly had a new wisdom capacity, which was not there before.
Right.
Because the ego that passed over was a highly developed individuality in humanity called Zarathustra. One of the highest, wisest men merged with this other child. And from that on to the baptism, we have Jesus of Nazareth, if you like, composed of the physical, etheric, and astral body of the Natanic child, in which now the Solomonic, the Matthew child ego takes place. That's very brief and very rude for a huge, mysterious, and holy process of two people merging into one.
You essentially have, how do I describe it, a transformation of this young child.
Yes.
By the entering of the cosmic Christ.
Not the cosmic Christ yet, by the entering of the Zarathustra ego. This is the first transformation. The second is that in
at the baptism,
the ego of Zarathustra sacrifices itself and leaves the space that he has prepared very well open for the cosmic Christ.
Then comes the cosmic Christ.
Then comes the second huge transformation.
Right.
The first is the Luke child becomes miraculously wise by the entrance of the ego. Imagine an ego which is able to leave its own body. That's possible. Well,
Yeah.
And goes over into another out of love and inside goes over and takes over the body. And then this Jesus with the ego of the Matthew child stands in the Jordan. And it's the body, physical, etheric and astral, which is on the cross.
So to me, it's very important that people understand that it's not just our body. You know, we're not just our body, but... but we can be infused, we can be reinvigorated by intelligence from elsewhere.
Yes. Yeah. But the best is today that we know that, that this is a controlled process, not because disintegration or could also take place in form of a possession. And there are many people possessed today. We have talked about quite a few times about this. So this is a miraculous preparation process. And then the cosmic Christ comes in into the sheaths which have been worked through by this high developed ego, which was formerly Zarathustra. Whereas the first child has never had a previous incarnation. It was pure. It was the first time after the Luke child, after paradise.
I love that scene when Jesus at 12 suddenly starts ministering in front of all the scribes and wise elders. And his parents come and find them all raptured listening to him.
Yes, and they don't...
what happened?
Yes, and what happened?
Right.
They don't know, but they see this is a...
but they know it's real. They see it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And then the other child soon, other child who has been left by his former ego, soon gets ill, withers away, and passes into the spiritual world as a kind of a spiritual... a companion still of the whole process.
Right.
It's a wonderful thing, but you need time and you need to go into it. And one thing I want to mention here is for those who are willing to follow that, study the cycle of St. Luke by Steiner, Gospel of Luke.
Mm-hmm.
There you find the double children, the double stream and uniting at the time of the baptism in Jordan. So we have 3 years of this cosmic Christ who underwent totally un-karmic. This was not a karmic course. The Christ did not do this because it was caused somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it because he could see without this, Ahriman, who had to be taken into the evolution, would take over.
Right.
And this is his tendency again today.
Right.
So the deed was not only, it was for the cosmos, it was also to place Ahriman in his rightful position.
Right.
And if we understand this, we never get into the feeling, oh, we are hopeless.
Is an irritant, yes. But he ain't no boss.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. That's a good way of putting it. Yes. So these are a few things, and as we have this cosmic Christ subject, I might point also for the readers interested, look into the fifth gospel. There is a fifth gospel, which doesn't exist physically, but you could find it in the Akashic record. And this gospel reports the facts that Jesus, after the scene in the temple, between the baptism, about this time span, you find practically nothing in the Gospels. Between 12 and baptism.
Yes.
And
I think it says in the King James, and he grew.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. But in the fifth Gospel, you find, oh, this Jesus was wandering around. He was going to mystery places. He was going to the Essenes.
Yes.
And he was learning continually, and this
is a great effort in the Bible to cut the Essenes right out.
Exactly.
Thomas, Enoch, the Essenes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So the fifth gospel is another piece of research that we are owing mm-hmm. to Steiner. Nobody else has brought that, with scenes very, the temptation scene, or the scene before he went to be baptized by John the Baptist, in all details. It's a wonderful, subtle report of all these things that are not in the Bible. Fifth Gospel. Now, we could also, of course, now, before we come to the end question, how to find the Christ, which was the title question of the first lecture of the series, the etheric Christ. Implicit is already clear. As St. Paul said recurrently, without resurrection, your belief is empty. The resurrection is the overcoming the death forcing coming from Ahriman and turn them into living forces. Without the resurrection, Christianity has no basis. That was St. Paul's conviction. And he understood and he experienced the living Christ, which after the mystery of Golgotha, the Christ passed, so to speak, in the whole earth's atmosphere. The blood lost or dropped at the cross became a kind of a homeopathic spiritual essence for the whole planet.
Right.
And the Christ being, when it appeared to Mary Magdalene and to some of the apostles or at Whitsun, was a spiritual Christ, not a physical Christ. A spiritual Christ who could be seen clairvoyantly.
Who could be everywhere.
Could be
he
everywhere.
He could infuse every
exactly.
living being.
Exactly.
Right.
And you could say the physical Christ, of course, was dying in Jerusalem on the cross. This is a central place on the earth. But the new Christ, the etheric Christ after resurrection, can be found, as you say, everywhere, in the whole earth sphere, everywhere.
One of the worst fights I ever saw in Washington was one of the magazines always has Man of the Year. And when we turned to 2000, they had Man of the Century. And Christ was leading by thousands, if not millions, of votes. And so the magazine said disqualified Christ because he said he was no longer alive. And a fight ensued, which you've never seen, but essentially millions of people saying he lives.
Yes.
Right. It's the etheric Christ.
It's the etheric Christ.
Right.
And he lives everywhere in the whole globe, in the whole etheric aura of the planet.
Right.
But I think today, the Ahriman being who incarnated, as Christ incarnated, as Lucifer once incarnated in China, Ahriman incarnates now. And he produces a black cloud in this etheric realm.
Right, he's trying to cut you off from the Christ.
Absolutely. Yeah. And many people feel that and are a bit confused. So it's important to have clarity on these three incarnations, Lucifer, Christ, and Ahriman. Now we could say the Christ in the etheric is what we can experience since the 30s of last century. That's the intensive reappearance. Before, the Christ was maybe appearing here and there, but from the 30s of last century, every individual has a possibility to meet him in a higher way than before, if not darkened by Ahriman's doubts and black clouds. That's a great chance. And maybe to link this with further things, I want to make one point clear. Steiner's whole spiritual science is oriented around the Christ event and Golgotha.
Right. Right.
He once said, and he was not a Catholic, he was not a Christian in the external sense. He was even admiring the work of Nietzsche, which you know, the Antichrist.
Right.
And some people say, well, Steiner loved the Antichrist. Look at that. But what Nietzsche actually blames is not the Christ or the cosmic Christ, which he, I don't think, had a direct access to, but the abuse of the Catholic Church with what they call Christianity. And Steiner found that brilliant. Steiner found that absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes in his autobiography one important remark and says, for his soul and spiritual development, it was important to have stood in an inner, calm, solemn, cognitional way vis-a-vis the mystery of Golgotha. That's his St. Paul experience.
Uh-huh.
Inwardly, he looked and he saw and he understood. Not with documents, not with outward signs, etc., etc. And if you go, and we will do that in later talks, look at his foundation of spiritual science, the philosophy of spiritual activity. He always claimed, if you go this way, you have Christianity on the level of your thinking.
Right.
This is a Christian work. So there's a unity in all that Steiner developed. This is all based off his understanding of the mystery of Golgotha that we wanted to talk about today. Now, maybe to close down, or do you think we should?
So I just wanted to add a couple of things.
Please.
You know, in Tennessee, where I come from, you know, there's always an expression when you're trying to make a decision, you don't know what to do. You say, what would Jesus do? That's the moral choice. And I, one of my favorite preachers always says, if you don't know what Jesus would do, the first thing you should do is speak life into your situation.
Speak?
Life mm-hmm. into your situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you study the history of the story of Christ, everywhere he turns, he speaks life
mm-hmm.
into people's situations.
Yeah.
Sick people, birds,
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
speaks life. And yeah. I think, you know, I don't know how to tell another person how to find the Christ. But I know if every time, every day, every way you speak life into your situation, you know, he dwells within that which gives life.
Mm-hmm. Fine. Yes. Do we want to see how
yes.
Steiner phrases it?
Better.
Not better, different. No, there are many ways.
Yeah,
I mean, this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this is said in the book, little book that you studied, How Do I Find the Christ, a lecture of 1918. I'm right, I think it is. And it says, Christ is not simply experienced in the human soul, but in two aspects. The death brought about in the soul through the physical body, and resurrection of the soul through the spirit. Let me comment. The Christ experience talked about here includes the experience of the crucifixion and the resurrection. And this is because in our physical nature we have, Paul speaks of a sting in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
which gives us the possibility to feel only physical. And this can only be taken out temporarily by a spiritual activity. So we are too physical in a certain sense, and that is the death experience. Death and resurrection. Whoever, in contrast, can speak of powerlessness and resurrection from powerlessness is speaking of the real Christ experience. So the first part is to feel I am not able to do what I have the ideal.
Do.
I'm too weak. And one has to be totally, sincerely admitting, if I'm only counting of my own forces, no way to succeed. And this is, so to speak, the death, the Good Friday part.
Right.
No one can to come to the resurrection which cannot go through the Good Friday experience. These are the two aspects. But let me finish him. Such a person finds himself upon a supersensible path towards the mystery of Golgotha, finds in himself the forces which stimulate the development of certain supersensible capacities and which lead him to the mystery of Golgotha. There is really no need nowadays to give up hope of finding one's way to direct personal experience of Christ. Once one has passed through powerlessness and refines oneself, one also finds Christ. Before we can gain access to the Christ impulse, we must plumb the depths of our own feelings of insignificance. And this can only happen when we view our own strengths and capacities without any pride. Many mystics believe that finding the higher or divine ego within the personal ego is the same as Christianity, but it is not. Christianity stands on the foundation which these words express. The cross of Golgotha cannot set us free from evil if not raised in you and me. We can feel the truth of this in the tiniest details of life. And from these specific, small details, we can rise into an experience of powerlessness and resurrection from powerlessness. These two aspects, that's one. There are many others. But there may be, I can also maybe close with another way you find, I would give the source next time, that you say, a way to the Christ is this double experience of feeling one's powerlessness, etc., and the resurrection out of that. And another is that one says, I want to understand every human opinion uttered to me, regardless whether I like it, I agree or not. To take up into my own soul what is the content of the consciousness of my fellow human being is another way to the Christ. He says that is then, in a way, what is in the Bible said by the Christ, what you have done to the lowest of my brethren, you have done to me.
Right.
What you have tried to understand in any other person, regardless whether you are agreeing or not, thus is, leads you to understand me. That's the way of the Christ to the Christ through the understanding of other people, which requires tolerance and interest for all things that live in other people, which is very rare today, I think. So these are two ways, and there are further. We can talk about that next time. This is just the beginning.
So if someone wants to explore what Steiner says about Christ, they can, obviously, they can get How Do I Find the Christ?
Yes.
They can also get the Fifth Gospel.
Yes.
They can get the Mystery of Golgotha.
The Matthew Gospel.
The Matthew Gospel.
The Luke Gospel.
The Luke Gospel.
And what I have not mentioned, good that you come in here with this, the basic book, Christianity as a Mystical Fact.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
That's also a guidebook to the deeper understanding.
And they can come to spiritualscience.solaria.com and find out more about Steiner in the present age.
You say it.
Okay.
Thank you, Katrin.
So I know that's how to find the Christ. If I'm feeling cut off, I just come to your house.
You say it.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for this first excellent part of our new series, Rudolf Steiner and the Present Age. And this will be posted at Spiritual Academy, Spiritual Science Academy at spiritualscience.solaria.com. You can link to it from the homepage.
And the next one will be in about 6 weeks. Yes.
And the next one will be?
Will be Spiritual Knowledge. What is it?
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Katrin.